Good morning, everyone. Lots going on as usual. And as usual, I will remind you, join the mailing list. You can join the mailing list at CanadaReport.co. And hold on, I'll get there. CanadaReport.co in the sidebar here and in this little link here. And I've added this. This, if you shop on Amazon, this would help me quite a lot, actually. If you click on this link, that would be very helpful. And then anything you buy, it doesn't cost you anything. Just anything you buy, I get affiliate kickback for. Excuse me. So that would be very helpful to help me with the show. So if you did that, that would be great. You can also do that on CanadaPoly.com on the sidebar when it shows up. Hold on. Here, and you can sign up at the top of the page. There and there for the call-in show on Sundays, etc. Man, there's such a long pre-roll. Don't forget to check out the forums and locals. And you could buy my book. That would be cool if you wanted to buy my book. It's called Canceled. It is the story of how YouTube uses terms of service to remove your free speech, as told through the removal of my free speech, because my YouTube channel got removed. But all I was doing was reading CBC headlines, right? Like, how dare I, right? I'm the dangerous one. Okay, all right. Here is an Australian government representative talking about the New World Order and how contact tracing will work in the New World Order. It's interesting, these clips, to me, because they patter on so long that you almost zone out and don't hear what they say, okay? So I don't know if this is queued up properly. It's only 30 seconds. We're going to listen to the whole thing. She talks about how contact tracing will work in the New World Order. Here we go.
Will exposure sites be put back in place, especially with reopening and...
The faces she makes as well are kind of funny. Okay, here we go again.
The pubs and stuff, because our exposure sites still... Will they be put back in place to be listed once we are reopening? Because they're not at the moment.
We will be looking at what contact tracing looks like in the New World Order. Yes, it will be pubs and clubs and other things if we have a positive case there. Our response may be different if we know that people are fully vaccinated. So we're working through a number of those issues. But we will have to reflect and learn.
New World Order. That's a very interesting phrase, right? Very interesting way to frame that. And this is titled, the tabs in this are titled Communist Takeover. Here's Jen Psaki, and she is talking about how...
Recommendations as an example.
Sorry. It depends on if you're vaccinated or not.
Yeah, that's the scary part. This is Joe Biden's releasing a six-pointed... COVID response today.
There will be new steps the president announces tomorrow.
Yeah, she's talking, right. Twitter videos have a mind of their own today. Apologies. Anyway, Joe Biden's announcing this today, this new rollout today. And I think that it's intended to provoke people. I think DeSantis is going to say no. I think the Texas governor is going to say no. I think there's going to be a bunch of other states that say no. And conflict, right? I think that we're going to see that. And I hope I'm wrong. But here is Jen Psaki, no P, saying that yeah, we're definitely going to be introducing that, and your status in this country depends on your vaccine status. Here we go.
Absolutely.
And will any of those new steps influence the average American's day-to-day life? Should we expect any new mitigation recommendations, as an example?
It depends on if you're vaccinated or not.
There will be new steps the president announced.
Evil, man. Evil. It feels like a departure from where we were, right? This is a lockstep next step, right? Everybody's taking a step forward. You got that, all those shields and boom, right? And it's like, whoa, where'd that come from, right? But we're being marched into that direction. That's that, right? In Australia, New South Wales Health limits alcohol into lockdown tower block. Residents are allowed to receive a ration of one of the following: 6 beers or pre-mixed drinks, 1 bottle of wine, 1 375 milliliter bottle of spirits. Excess alcohol is being confiscated. That's news.com.au. Really? Very interesting stuff, right? Very interesting stuff. What direction is this going, right? It's a very interesting direction. This is the UK. I think this is, oh no, this is perhaps, it's UK or Australia. And it seems like they're going after the kids. I think this is UK. They're going after the children the 12 to 15 year olds, if the 12 to 15 year olds have a different opinion to the parents, then the state is going to back up the child and remove the parents' right to have a say. Here we go.
Do you think that 12 to 15 year olds should be able to overrule their parents on whether or not they should have jobs?
I think we should follow the same rules that we've had in this country under successive governments for decades, which is that you first would try to seek the consent of parents. And parents, we're going to ask all parents for consent. And in most cases,
but what if they don't give it, is my question.
If they don't give consent.
And children still want their vaccine.
Exactly. So if there's a difference of opinion between the child and the parent, then we have specialists that, let's say, that work in this area, the school's vaccination service. They would usually literally sit down with the parent and the child and try to reach some kind of consensus. If ultimately that doesn't work, as long as we believe that the child is competent enough to make this decision, then the child's will prevail.
Do you think that 12 to 15 year old...
So the child's will prevail if the government believes that they're competent to make their own decisions. But up until now, like, they can't drink or drive, or, you know, like a 12 to 15 year old can't drive, can't go to war or anything like that. There's all sorts of things they can't do. They can't enter into a contract with an adult, right? Like, they couldn't say, yes, I agree to this employment contract. I guess at 15 they could. But certain other things they're not allowed to do. They're excluded from because they don't have the experience to make, to do that, right? So that is... slimy to me. And it's the same thing being done in Canada. Now they're saying if you're born, if you're in your 12th year, you don't have to be 12, but if you're in your 12th year, scary stuff. Here's a doctor. I've been talking about how the doctors have been influenced by their governing bodies in Ontario, in Alberta, and other places. Here's a doctor speaking out about how Australia and their government is directly reaching out and limiting what the doctors can do. Now, I know this is Canadian politics based, but I feel like this is an important kind of grouping of things to talk about. We're going to get into the debate. The French language debate was last night. It was awful. It was awful. But anyway, regardless, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But listen to this. Here we go.
Back in March of this year, APRA, which is the Australian health regulating body of GPs, actually sent a letter to all GPs. And in that letter, they were very, very explicit in their directions to GPs by saying that you are in no way able to interfere with the vaccination rollout of the federal government. And that even includes discussions on social media about potential options to vaccine. And if you are caught interfering with the national rollout of the vaccination program, we reserve the right to conduct an investigation into your behaviour and to your actions and potentially have you deregistered as a GP. So here we are. We now have doctors who have trained themselves for many, many years to be able to give the best health advice to their patients with the patient's health in mind, now having resting over their head this heavy bureaucracy saying, if you interfere in any way with the rollout of this vaccination program, we're going to investigate you. That's essentially what they're saying. So here it is. I've actually heard from doctors who are terrified of actually following their gut and following their training to give a medical exemption to someone who they know needs it because of the bureaucracy that's resting over their own head. Now, no one can tell me that is an appropriate level of bureaucracy, particularly when it refers to a person's health. Because a doctor should be free from any form of leverage or any form of pressure to operate fully in their professional skilled area. In March of this year, APRA, which
in
is
Ontario,
the Australian...
Sorry. In Ontario, they're trying to... The CPSO is trying to exert power over doctors... on their social media, right? And that's wild. That's crazy to me. But it's happening, and it's a situation where if you tell people the doctors that you're going to see who are telling you this vaccine is safe have other motivations, like they want to keep their job, it's hard to articulate that without something like Yes, that. And Dr. Patrick Phillips is another doctor who's been vocal about the CPSO. Dr. Jean-Marc Benoit is another doctor who's been vocal about the CPSO and what they're trying to do in Canada. I'm trying to show you they're doing it already. It's already done in Australia. And that's scary. It should be scary to you. It is scary to me. So, okay, it was only a 10-minute intro. And let's get into the election and the debate last night. Here is a snatch this off of Facebook. It says, I did not succumb to the fear of COVID, so I won't succumb to the fear of a split vote. I thought that was pretty funny. Here's a shock poll, right? Barreling down the, chomping at the heels of the NDP, decimating the Greens. The PPC is posting an 8+ points on this poll. This is EKOS. 10, what's up, right? 16 for the NDP, 34 for the CPC, 32 for the LPC, statistically tied. When they say Trudeau got 140 seats and Mr. O'Toole got 139 seats and the PPC got 3, right? Just to blame the PPC. Well, don't you think that the PPC would join with the Conservative Party to make sure Aaron O'Toole becomes the Prime Minister? Or then you've got the NDP and the Bloc. Who do the Bloc go with, right? Do they go with O'Toole or do they go back to Trudeau? Oh, goodness me, what will happen? Blanchette, right? I don't know. This is very interesting. It's very interesting. I really do hope that the PPC get a bunch of seats. That would be wonderful. And here they are, right? Like, it looks like they're doing a good showing. It's hard to look at all of these other options because they're all offering the same thing, fundamentally the same thing. Vaccine passports, vilifying anti-vaxxers, however you define that. Oh, why, yes, I have had all of my vaccines. By anti-vaxxer, you mean just this vaccine? Okay, I guess. Crazy, right? But that is what they mean. It's wild. It's wild and crazy. But that's what they're trying to do here. They're trying to say this person is like not rational. Okay, sure. Canada, the debate is a joke and they're all pandering to Quebec. Yeah, I tried to watch some of the debate. I run out of steam. I run out of analytical steam. I think, oh, that's interesting. And then I tag it to read the next morning so I can think about it in a fresh light. So having the debate late at night, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with this. And it was French and then English. Here, this is what I was watching. This is actually the point where I just gave up. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't do this. Here we go. What are they saying? I don't know if it'll work.
Access to surgery or care sooner than the development system?
Okay, it's going to skip. It was somewhere around here anyway, and the buzz and the translation was just wearing on my nerves. Anyway, regardless, I stopped watching, and they were pandering to Quebec, I found. Blanchette, his whole thing was that the federal government didn't give enough money to Quebec, and they were talking about provincial mandate stuff. And I was like, this is just not something that I am able to even willingly put myself through. It was awful. I was just like, Tonight I'll be watching the English debate. Somebody was asking me if I was going to stream it. I was playing with that idea. Are people interested in watching me watch the debate? Maybe we'll see. If I stream it, I'll put out a tweet. So if I do that, maybe it's a possibility. Maybe Greg and I will watch it. I'll see if Greg's busy. Here's a long tweet thread from Andrew Lawton regarding the debates. If you want to find some at the moment interpretations and as he saw it and what was happening. I mean, it's so sad because I think that alt media puts out a really good product generally, but it doesn't get nearly like the recognition it deserves. Anyway, here is Gene Jeffries, and he says, so this is weird. I didn't recognize this guy during Singh's post-debate media availability. So I did some digging. Apparently he's a director for the Liberal Party's LaSalle Imond Verdun Riding Association. He was the first one to ask a question. How did he get the media accreditation? Very interesting. We're going to listen to the Rebel News media accreditation story in just a minute. They tried to do a little bait and switch at the last minute saying, well, you need a PCR test that's not going to be ready for 24 hours, so you can't come tonight. And they had to go get the judge and be like, no, you have to let these guys come in. Leaders gear up for English language debate tonight after the French joust. I haven't had the time to watch the French debate at this point in time. So apologies that I haven't watched it all. I watched the first 20 minutes, but like I said, it was like taking my eyeball lids and banging a hammer and nail through the eyeball lids onto my desk. And I was just like, that would be, that's what it felt like. Here's Andrew Coyne. And if you thought to yourself, Andrew Coyne is a reasonable reporter who isn't just pushing the government paid for propaganda. I'll avail you of that thought right now. Here is Andrew Quinn's tweet about Andrew Quinn's opinion article in the Globe and Mail. He says, "My latest on the rise of the People's Party. Yes, it's terrible that so many people support them, but they do, which means it's wrong to have excluded them from the debates." Oh, that was a little bit of a walk to get there, Andrew. It's terrible that people support them, but they do, so it's wrong to... Okay. I mean, the editorial, it's the opinion piece. Like, it's an opinion piece, so it's fine that he has an opinion. And it's fine to think that, if you want to think that. We're a free country. We used to be a free country. And now, if you don't pledge fealty to Trudeau, then they might show up in the night, right? And say that you're an anti-vaxxer and take you to an isolation center. But still, it doesn't... Like, an article like this, I don't think it moves the needle on having an honest conversation, right? And it's like, that's obviously not what our media and our press is interested in. It's not what Andrew Coyne's interested in. He's not interested in peddling something that's an honest conversation about the People's Party. He's interested in further driving the wedge at the behest of his liberal masters, right? The people who pay him. So to me, it's just dishonest. It doesn't fall in the realm of media. And Trudeau accuses the Rebel of doing this, right? And we'll get there in just a minute. But Trudeau really goes after the Rebel when the Rebel says, like, why did you do that? And he says, basically, I don't think that you're a valid media outlet. But the reality is, our media outlets that are being treated as credible, that are ignoring the fact that Black Lives Matter can have a massive rally and not spark outbreaks, but you can't have Christmas, right? Like, this is a media that is lying wholesale to the public, again, at the behest of their masters, right? The people who are paying them. Like, who is your biggest customer, right? If you own a business and you have a biggest customer, you want to keep them happy, right? Well, if you own a newspaper, your biggest customer is the government. It's not the corner store who's selling papers for $3 a paper, right? It's the government. They're giving $110,000 a week to the National Post and other newspapers, right? Not to mention $2 billion for the CBC to run articles and other things. We're going to talk about book burning at the end of the show, and we're going to see how that stacks up to what they used to do. The government also funds NGOs. NGOs are non-governmental organizations. The NGOs then launch legal battles against the Canadian government for oil sands and environmental issues. Yeah, we use Canadian taxpayer dollars to fund NGOs that then launch legal battles against the Canadian government. Unbelievable, right? Anyway, the newspapers, the press, are bought and paid for directly by the government, openly by the government. And then what does that lead to? Trash like this, right? Bought and paid for, right? This is this guy's bread and butter. This is what he gets paid for. Unbelievable. Unbelievable, right? That's how far we've fallen. Viva Fry says, someone told me the College Dawson, Dawson's College, I think, was holding a meet and greet of the federal candidates. I didn't get an invite. If it's happening and I didn't get an invite, I would be offended, not because I'm a candidate, but because I'm a graduate on the dean's list of Dawson's College. Ha, right? I felt when I was running in 2019, I felt like I had to fight for every inch. Nothing was given to me, not even like a quote in the newspaper. They misquoted me to make me sound stupid. And sometimes the language that I use is kind of funny sometimes. Like I use more complicated words or sometimes I'll use a different word than other people will use. So the way I speak is kind of notable or not remarkable, just hard to misquote, I guess. And they were misquoting me in the newspaper and I called them out on it. And he was like, oh, okay, you're right. But they were trying to make me sound like a caveman, right? And I'm not saying that I sound smart, but I don't sound like a caveman. Me, Mark, rah, 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 right? Like, no, right? And oh man, I should have taken a screenshot of the article. It was years ago now, right? But I thought, like, what, how ridiculous, right? And so I felt like I had to fight for every single inch. And it's not just me, it's people with much more reach than me. So that's interesting. That's interesting, right? I think that it's hard when the system is stacked against you. Don't believe me that the system is stacked against the People's Party, sure, but also against the citizens of the country, okay? Why do I say that? Here's how the seats stack up across Canada. Population, is it just population that drives this? Ontario and Quebec is 200 seats, 199 seats. So if you win Ontario and Quebec, done, game over. Right, you can win 170 seats in Ontario and Quebec, right? Easy, right? And so, I mean, not to say easy, but easy, right? All you have to do is aim your campaign at Ontario and Quebec, and that's that. So that's what we see happening, right? Like you see tours of Ontario, you see tours of Quebec, you see Antifa active in Ontario. Why? Because, well, the Atlantic Canada easily replaces Alberta's seats, right? So you don't even have to pander to Alberta to put together your path to a strong electoral victory, right? And a strong majority is 177? Who cares about a strong majority? If you've got just a simple majority in Canadian politics, that's it. I mean, look what Trudeau did with a minority, right? With a majority, he would be completely unaccountable, totally unaccountable to everyone. So all you have to do is play to Ontario and Quebec and maybe a little bit of Atlantic provinces, right? Easy, right? You can totally ignore Saskatchewan and Manitoba, totally ignore them completely. Alberta, you know, other than the fact that they pay the entire bill for the country, you could totally ignore them too, right? Just incredible. Just incredible. So I think it's a stacked system. There's a reason. I'm sure there's a valid, you know, somebody could talk about why it was done like that and the population and all that stuff. But was that before or after mass immigration, right? Was that before or after the weaponization of all of the systems we built for taxpaying citizens and the usurpation of those to bankrupt us, right? Was that before or after that, right? Like, I'm sure there's a reason for it, but goodness me. Lori Goldstein says, Trudeau says we needed an election during a pandemic so Canadians would have a say in how to get out of the pandemic. What does that even mean? Our plan has been so great, it's vaccines. And if you disagree with me, I'm going to call another election right away. Because I need a complete mandate in order to get done what I want to get done. And if people disagree with me, I'm just going to keep sending them to the polls until they agree with me. Mackenzie Gray says, the Conservative Party have released their costed platform. Here are the key details. Over the next 5 years, they're proposing $78 billion in new spending, nearly the exact same as the Liberal Party of Canada. Holy smokeronis. They plan to save $27 billion by canceling programs like $10 a day daycare, so the net total is $51 billion in spending. The big ticket items are $24 billion for doubling the Canada worker benefit over 5 years, $13 billion to stimulate business investment, and $9.7 billion for fiscal stabilization. Two key items that didn't have costing, the personal low-carbon savings account and their promise to bring high-speed internet to everyone in Canada by 2025. The promise of an increase in health transfers for the provinces doesn't start for another 3 years, with the majority of the $60 billion over 10 years coming at the back end of those years. Even without 3% growth, which is what the original CPC platform was projecting, the CPC says they're able to get a balanced budget within 10 years. Using the PPO growth projections, they said it would take 7 years to get balance. As for deficit numbers, here are the projections. It only went for 5 years. The PBO released theirs, and you can look at them here. And on healthcare, the PBO estimates the CPC plan would only increase health spending by $3.6 billion over the next 5 years. So that means that from 2026 to 2031, they would need to spend $56.4 billion to meet their $60 billion over 10 years election promise. This is what is inherently wrong with Canadian politics. Fundamentally, like, the federal government is not in charge of healthcare. That's the provincial government. And if you have a crappy provincial government that gets money and focuses on A instead of B, and you can name whatever you want, whatever you want to focus on that's incorrect for the times, right? And our governments are expert at focusing on the wrong things, so they do that a lot. Then this spending means really nothing. Like, we're going to give more money to the provinces, and we're going to give it to them with the intention that they're going to use it for healthcare. And then the provinces get it, and they say, well, our shelter system is completely overrun, and we need, you know, X, Y, and Z, and blah, 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 blah. And so you get all of that information and feedback, and then what happens to the poor schmuck on the ground who voted for Plan A instead of Plan B? Well, they get screwed because they don't get healthcare, and they're not in the shelter system, so the money doesn't get spent on them, and they're stuck waiting or just shut out entirely, right? Is that a reasonable outcome? I mean, that's what's happening. So what are you going to do? Contempt of court. So the Trudeau government, now this is spinning into the vaccinations, because the Trudeau government is saying fundamentally that, I saw one that said Rebel News is to blame for COVID, for misinformation, and for, like, the budget not balancing, and basically for all of Canada's problems, it's Rebel News' fault. And I thought that's a good take. That's pretty accurate. That's what Trudeau is trying to say. So we're going to get to vaccines in a minute. We're going to listen to Trudeau, unfortunately. But Rebel News says, okay, contempt of court. Trudeau's debate commissioner refuses to accept the federal court's ruling. They demand that our reporters take a new PCR test that will not be ready for 24 hours. The debate is tonight. Our lawyer is contacting the judge right now. Our lead reporter at the debates just took a rapid antigen test and was negative. Trudeau's staff refuses to accept that. They're demanding that she take a PCR test that they know won't be ready until the debate is over. They're in contempt of court. And ultimately, the rebel was allowed to ask their question, and here is that question. And Trudeau's response, his response is to vilify rebel. It is not to take responsibility for trying to shut down reporters. It's trying to make the case that Rebel is just giving misinformation. After this, I'm going to show you the vaccination numbers, the illness, and the case numbers in vaccinated and unvaccinated across different places in Canada. And I'm going to show you a whole bunch of things as well, with Trudeau saying that the debate is over. Vaccine is the only way out of this. And I don't know that the debate is actually over. So Trudeau just wants to shut down anybody who disagrees with him. This is Justin Trudeau's free speech in Justin Trudeau's Canada. I wrote a book about it, right? Using my removal from YouTube to illustrate the story of the removal of your free speech in this country, right? Justin Trudeau did that. Nobody else did that. This man, this liar, this weasel, this idiot tyrant did that, right? Idiot tyrant. Okay. I know, it's like nails on a chalkboard, but here we go. Trudeau warning, probably 2 minutes. And it's ridiculous.
Hello, thank you, Mr. Trudeau. The only reason that I'm allowed to ask you this question is because today the federal court ruled that the government doesn't have the right to determine who is or is not a journalist. This is the second election in a row that the court had to overturn your government. Do you still insist on being able to make that decision, and why?
First of all, questions around accreditation were handled by the press gallery and the consortium of networks who have strong perspectives on quality journalism and the important information that is shared with Canadians. The reality is organizations like yours that continue to spread misinformation and disinformation on the science around vaccines, around how we're going to actually get through this pandemic and be there for each other and keep our kids safe, is part of why we're seeing such unfortunate anger and lack of understanding of basic science. And quite frankly, your, I won't call it a media organization, your group of individuals need to take accountability for some of the polarization that we're seeing in this country. And I think Canadians are cluing into the fact that there is a really important decision we take about the kind of country we want to see. And I salute all.
My mic didn't want to unpause. Holy smoke, there's a lot to unpack there. How powerful is Rebel, man? Did Rebel institute this vaccine passport? Holy smokeronies, is that what Justin Trudeau said? The Rebel News is the most powerful media organization spreading disinformation across Canada. The Rebel News is making people show up in the hundreds to protest this monster, this monster, right? This idiot tyrant. Rebel News did that, not Justin Trudeau, by saying, your body belongs to me, and if you don't get vaccinated, you will be removed from society. Justin Trudeau didn't do that. Rebel News did that. Those monsters. Those monsters. And Canadians know to certainly blame Rebel News for the divisive, monstrous things that have happened to Canada since Justin Trudeau has come to office, right? Like, since Justin Trudeau got here, Rebel News has done nothing but destroy Canada, right? Destroyed Canada through misinformation. What the heck is this guy on? Seriously, holy smokeronies. I can't believe, like, you have to be really seriously cracked in the head. Justin Trudeau needs to, did somebody drop him on, did Fidel drop him on his head at some point? You have to be cracked in the head to believe the things that Trudeau is actually saying in this clip. It's crazy. It's crazy. Rebel News is the one that's dividing Canada. Rebel News is such a powerful media organization. CBC can't hold a candle to Rebel News and their misinformation. Really?
Extraordinary, hardworking journalists that put science and facts.
Extraordinary. Sure, sure, sure. Right. he tries to say, oh, the real journalists, we really respect them. But Rebel News has destroyed this country with their misinformation. Right? Terrible. Okay, let's look. Here it is as well. There's no longer a debate on vaccination here. We're going to mute this. But this is Trudeau in yesterday's debate. No longer a debate on vaccination. It's in French, so that's what I'm reading. As the way to get through this, it is exactly what science, what our best researchers tell us. There's no longer a debate. Okay, so that's 8 seconds of Trudeau saying that in French. Now, we're going to go through some numbers. Just going to go through some quick numbers here. Andre says, quick observation this morning. In Ontario, around 93% of people 70 plus are vaccinated. In the last 30 days, 87% of the COVID-related deaths came from that age group. Are we safe to assume that a large percentage or a large proportion of Ontario's COVID deaths are from fully vaccinated people? Quick correction, the data should be 91, not 93, he says there, and of people 60 plus, so he drops it by 10 years. So 91% of people, 87% of deaths are in that age group. Could that be that a lot of the people dying are in the vaccinated age group, jabbed or double jabbed? Here is Israel. I've talked about this before. This is, we have the death data by vaccination status on our COVID dashboard. There were 607 deaths in August. Deaths by vaccination status, unvaccinated, 218 deaths. That's 35%. One dose, 14%. So one shot, 14 deaths, 2.3%, excuse me. Two shots, 313, that's 51%. 51% of the deaths in Israel were from double vaccinated people, okay? 62 deaths, 10%, were from triple vaccinated people. If you add 51 plus 10, that's 61%. That's a lot of people, right? That's a lot of percentage. In fact, and if you cut it away, only 35% of the deaths were unvaccinated. That's a low percentage of the deaths compared to 61% had double vaxxed or triple vaxxed. The science, what science is he talking about exactly? I'm going to show you a Canadian doctor as well on CTV. And I've got some questions about his eyes. But this is the Newfoundland update from yesterday. Is this yesterday? September 7th, today is the 9th, so a couple of days ago. This is Newfoundland. I just wanted to show you that, because Justin Trudeau just said the science, right? He's telling us the science, we gotta follow the science. Okay, this is the science. July 1st to September 7th in Newfoundland, 28 fully vaccinated, 12 partially vaccinated, total 40, 36 unvaccinated. These are the case numbers. So one person in the hospital, unknown. So you've got 40 people who are either fully or partially vaccinated with cases and 36 unvaccinated. The science tells us what now? The science tells us that Justin Trudeau is not telling us the truth. As usual. The situation in Ontario, says Milhouse Van Houten, is no better now than a year ago, despite an incredible 80% vaccination rate versus 0% then. Certainly the 20% unvaccinated couldn't be making up the difference. Any ideas why this is? So Ontario 20 to 21 comparison in four charts. He said cases, hospitalizations, deaths, indexed to values 1 year earlier, black line, his index is 365 days ago, all values indexed to value on that date. Below black bar, so you can look at this. I've been banging this drum for I don't know, the last 10 days, 12 days, 15 days. This is a failed, this is a failed strategy. To me, it's plain as day, this is a completely failed strategy. And I don't understand why people are not putting this together that it's a failed strategy, but like, or not talking about, I understand why we're not talking about the fact that this is a failed strategy. See the beginning of this show, right? The communist takeover. However, I feel like it's obvious. Like, and sometimes I'll use my desk as an example. Like, it is obvious to me that this is a failed strategy, as this pen is sitting on my desk, right? Like my magic pen here. So the failed strategy here is clear as day. It's like, listen, you see deaths last year, yeah, 0% vaccinated, uh-huh. Way better outcome than 80% vaccinated this year. We have more cases, more deaths, more hospitalizations. What's up with that? And they say, you know what you need to do? Get vaccinated. And you're like, what? What does that mean? Why? Why do you clearly just ignore these issues that everybody seems to be bringing up? Okay, here is a Saskatchewan doctor. He says, he goes through the pattern. It's like you read an article that says, you know, the average anti-vaxxer is a 42-year-old mother, and and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the article, they list all the reasons why they're concerned, and blah, blah, blah. And then at the end of the article, they say, of course, you get much better outcomes if you get vaccinated. And not. So they're covering their butts. That paid off media. Anyway, here is the Saskatchewan doctor, and he's talking about the people who are vaccinated getting sick, which I just showed you with the data in Israel, but here's a Canadian one too. And Newfoundland, here's another one from Saskatchewan. Here we go.
Possible that a vaccinated person can get a mild version of the illness, can have mild symptoms, and can transmit it,
right.
Which is really critical because you can have minimal symptoms or no symptoms, but still be shedding virus, and you could impact the well-being or health of that immune-compromised person sitting next to you in the classroom or in the store. And that's why these other measures like masking, vaccine passports, and other policies that have been proven to work in increasing vaccination rates.
Not proven to work in mitigating COVID-19, proven to work in increasing vaccination rates. And so we have an 80% vaccination rate, and they're trying to vilify those evil anti-vaxxers. And they're saying that even if you're vaccinated, you could be exposing somebody who's immunocompromised beside you to the illness. This is the highest degree of bullshit. If a vaccine passport works, how does it work to reduce cases of COVID-19? If a vaccine passport works, does it work better than masking did? Does it work better than lockdowns did? Does it work better than the vaccine did? Because all of these are interventions that we were told would get us back to normal, right? We're just keeping the masks around so we can keep businesses open and normal. Bullshit. Bullshit. It's total bullshit. And now they're saying the same thing about vaccine passports. And are people going with this? I don't think they are, but the media is telling us that they are. And I've got other things to show you. Hold on a second. I'll cut this. Right. Good. I have other things to show you with regards to people going with. Oh, 1, 2, 3. Sorry, let me find this here. Hold on. Here is a CTV poll that asks, do you support restrictions on the unvaccinated? And it says 76% say no, they don't. But they're going to try and flip this poll. CTV is going to try and flip this poll. So people aren't going with them. They're not saying, yes, we should be having vax passports and all that stuff. But they're going to try and change things. They're going to try and change the public opinion. They're already positioning things like, if you don't do this, you're a bad person. Anyone notice how we don't hear the vax status of all these new cases, but the second something bad happens to an unvaxxed person, it's all over the news. All of PEI's active cases are travel related, which means they had the pass, which means they had at least one jab. Right? So yeah, that's interesting, right? Isn't it? Don't you think? Some are suggesting that California outperformed Florida without any reference to Florida's older population. Age is the single most important risk factor for poor COVID outcomes. Comparing California and Florida outcomes without mentioning this fact is misleading. I just wanted you to see that they mislead with data all the time. All the time. It's the standard. It's not the. It's the rule. It's what happens. It's like if you want Trudeau to be ahead in the polls and you get a naked poll, like here's the basic results of the poll, and he's not, you say, what about the women? Right? What if we break out the women? What if we break out the women 24 to 36? Right? How about now? Right? And so that starts to massage the polls, right? If you break out women between this age, blah, blah, blah. And so they can do anything they want with numbers and data. They lie about it all the time. And it's if you don't know the mechanism, it makes it easier for them to lie. Right? And if you don't understand right away what you're looking at, it makes it easier for you to believe them. Here is, this speaks for itself. I don't know. I'll show a minute of
the head of St. Mary's. St. Mary's is a private hospital in Mesa County. The head of the women's unit, an incredible doctor there, has come out boldly saying he does not stand with St. Mary's on their mandatory lipstick. He does not stand with St. Mary's on not documenting the number of women who are coming in delivering stillborns. They're not documenting it. Listen to this. They're asking people, did you get the lipstick? But they're not documenting it anywhere on the paperwork. So let's say unprecedented number of mothers are coming in with stillborn babies than ever. They're asking them, did you get the lipstick? They're saying yes, but there's nowhere, no place to document it.
So I've been hearing this since the beginning of the vaccine rollout. I said, I don't know. I'm not a woman. I don't know how to check if this is true. I've heard this multiple times. I've heard this from so many different people, from Dr. Gould, the American doctor, one of the heads of the American doctors who's been speaking out about this for the whole time. I've heard it from so many people. And again, not directly personally to me. I've seen videos of people putting this stuff together and saying, this is happening. I don't know. This is another thing here, the New York Post. The NIH orders $1.67 million study on how COVID-19 vaccine impacts menstrual cycle. Wouldn't they know? They've told people it's safe. They said, if you're pregnant, you should get your vaccine because the antibodies go into the baby. They've told people this is safe. And now they're going to have this new study. Is it safe? Where's the study that says it's safe? How many people were studied? What were the outcomes? How many bad results? How many stillborn? Right? How many people who just not in a study, but generally were given it that were pregnant? How many stillborn from them? Will they share that information? Is that information easily found? I don't know. But it seems like they don't want to share that information, right? Seems like they didn't know everything. Donald Welsh, he says, I forgot that antibody therapy was available but not deployed in Ontario since April. Strange given the blockbuster NEJM article showing 70% efficacy on hospitalization of vulnerable populations. Any comment from Ontario Health? Ha, no. COVID-19 booster shots likely not needed for most Canadians, experts say. This is September 8th, today's 9th. Wait till they flip-flop on this. This is going to be flip-flopped on. I'm going to forget this date, September 8th. I'm going to have to write it down. The day, this is the same as Justin Trudeau saying, we're not a country that mandates vaccines, right? And you go, great. I mean, you know, that's wonderful. And then people who are saying, get the jab because that's it. It's once you've got two, it's done. Nah. This is the prep. This is the fake. So the waves of fear, I shared an article, I think it was After School, S-K-O-O-L, After School. And they did an article or a 15-minute video or so on what's happening and the psychological conditioning and breaking people, etc. And instead of having like one constant emergency, you have waves of fear, right? If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. And that's part of this, right? Don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to go back to normal, right? No boosters needed. Everything's fine. Just don't look at the cases or the hospitalizations or the deaths. Everything's fine. We're definitely not way worse than we were last year. And look what happened last year. Everything's fine, right? Don't use your critical thinking skills. No, come on. Everything's better now because we have a vaccine, right? That's making worse cases, worse hospitalizations, and worse deaths. But everything's fine. No boosters necessary, right? Yes, Israel's on their fourth dose. Yes, sure. They're thinking about it in Europe and the UK. Sure they are, right? But it's fine here. Don't worry about it. The experts in Canada have said so. Did you get AstraZeneca? Ooh, sorry. The first vaccine that's available, that's the best one, right? Team AstraZeneca, right, Colin? Ha, idiot. Okay, so Nova Scotia just went through an election. The Liberals thought it was gonna be a slam dunk. The Liberals got removed and the PC government came to power and they stopped the vaccine passport. Oh, no, they didn't. No, sorry. No, they didn't. No. As of October 4th, proof of full vaccination will be required for Nova Scotians who are 12 or older to participate in discretionary, recreational, or non-essential activities. Ah, so what did the PC win get Nova Scotia? What exactly are these provincial conservative parties conserving? They implement the exact same policies as the Liberals just weeks later. Glad that at least Ontario has New Blue Party as the center-right option next time. I don't know. Do they? Do they have any candidates? It's like a year. It's less than a year, guys. Like, we're September and it's June that the election is, isn't it? So good luck right now. Huh. Province, this is Nova Scotia. Province moves to phase 5 reopening September 15th. Nova Scotia will move into phase 5 of its reopening plan 12:01 a.m. on September 15th. Wearing masks in indoor public places will no longer be mandatory, but remain strongly recommended when people gather in indoor places, and other public health measures like gathering limits and physical distancing will also be lifted. As of October 4th, proof of full vaccination will be required for Nova Scotians who are 12 or older to participate in discretionary, recreational, or non-essential activities such as dining out, going to a fitness facility, or going to a movie theater, performance, concert, or sporting event. The proof of vaccination requirement does not apply to children 11 years of age and under because they are not eligible to receive COVID-19. Children age 11 and under who attend these activities with a fully vaccinated adult will be allowed to participate. Ridiculous. Ridiculous. They're punishing the children. It's like, you'll go without. But if your kid is like, Daddy, can we blah, blah, blah? And you're like, fine. But see, the thing is, you got to find a way around it, right? You got to find a way around it. Call ahead. Local health officials are sounding the alarm after 8 suspected overdoses in the past week. That is more deaths than COVID from drugs, right? You know the best intervention for drug overdose deaths? Provide the addicts with free drugs. That's what we're doing. That's what we do in Guelph. Ha, yeah, yeah. The free injection site, the safe injection site, they inject them with drugs. And sometimes they just give them packages. And what ends up happening is the drug dealers or the people who are savvy enough, they take that drug and they sell it for money. And they take the money and they buy the drugs they really wanted, which are not the safe version, but the more potent street brand. And they overdose. So aren't you sick of failed initiatives? I'm sick of, like, the vaccine, total failure. Safe injection sites, total failure. Doubled the deaths in Guelph. It doubled the deaths. These people are insane. What are they doing? Is that the goal? Like, I can't imagine that's not the goal at this point in time. Like, I mean, it's not like they don't know. Like, ooh, look at that death rate. Yep, all we gotta do is give them more drugs. Like, even morons. Absolute fools. It's ridiculous. You know what we gotta do to the kids? Cover their faces, because they might get an illness that will make them sniffle a little bit. What? What insanity? Why would the Canadian government cover funeral costs for anyone who dies from an approved vaccine if it's safe? And why would they compensate companies that get sued for vaccine passports and vaccine mandates if it was legal? Huh. You gotta wonder, right? You gotta wonder. And not just compensate, they'll just protect, right? Shield it. Sorry about your luck. You can't bring that lawsuit here, right? Stop being a bigot. If you stop being a bigot, then you might have access to the courts. But even then, are you vaccinated? Ottawa gym owner says he'll not ask for users' vaccination status. Brave, they'll shut him down, just like they workshopped shutting down places that dared to open in spite of the COVID restrictions, right? Time to boycott Tim Hortons. They've got proof of vaccination required. Local rules and regulations require that dine-in guests provide proof of vaccination and government-issued ID. Scary stuff. Last stories for today is the anti-racist stories. Did you know that in 2019... There was a symbolic book burning by a board of education in Ontario? Uh-huh. Sure there was. There was. Yep. An Ontario school board held a flame purification ceremony of 30 books deemed offensive to Indigenous tribes in advance of a wider purge of 4,700 books at 30 schools. I'm not kidding. This happened. Here's the National Post. This is published yesterday. Book burning at Ontario's Francophone school as gesture of reconciliation. We'd like to burn these books to be together with you. And anybody who disagrees or says anything that might be in these books, we will take them away. Unbelievable. A book burning held by Ontario Francophone School Board as an act of reconciliation with Indigenous people has received a sharp condemnation from Canadian political leaders. And the board itself now says it regrets its symbolic gesture. Yeah. I mean, doing exactly the same thing as the Nazis did for the same reason? Yeah, you probably should regret that, you Nazis. Like, what? Absolute. If you don't know history, you're doomed to actually completely repeat it and act it out exactly how it was done in Nazi Germany. The flame purification ceremony, first reported by Radio Canada, was held in 2019 by the council, I'm not going to say any of that because I can't, which oversees the elementary and secondary schools in southwestern Ontario. Some 30 books, the national broadcaster reported, were burned for educational purposes. And then the ashes were used as fertilizer to plant a tree. Quote, we bury the ashes of racism, discrimination, and stereotypes. They just burned books in the hopes that we will grow up an inclusive country where we can all live in prosperity and society. Right? Hail Hitler. Right? Says a video prepared for students about the book burning, Radio Canada reported. In total, more than 4,700 books were removed from the library shelves at 30 schools across the board, and they have since been destroyed or in the process of being recycled. Lynn Cossette, the board's spokesperson, told National Post that the board formed a committee and many Aboriginal knowledge keepers and elders participated and were consulted at various stages, from the conceptualization to the evaluation of the books to the tree planting initiative. Okay, so we're going to identify all these books, and then something's going to happen, and then we're going to plant a tree. Cool? Great. Okay. Wait, what are you doing? We're burning these books. You just agreed to that. The school library said that it is constantly updated, and the library books on shelves have positive and inclusive messages about diverse communities within our schools. No wrong think there. We regret that we did not intervene to ensure a more appropriate plan for the commemorative ceremony, and that it was offensive to some members of the community. We sincerely regret the negative impact of this initiative intended as a gesture of reconciliation, she wrote. Here is what the Nazis did, according to Wikipedia. So take it with a grain of salt, because, you know, it's the internet, and anybody can edit Wikipedia. Somebody gave me heck yesterday or the other day for saying, it's InfoWars, grain of salt. I'm sorry, Alex Jones isn't like a God's honest truth merchant. That would be crazy if he was, but I don't know that he is. And like, sure, you have to read the conspiracy theories. You have to read everything that's going on in the world to understand kind of like the whole game. And I don't think that anybody could understand the whole game. I think it's way more complicated than we think. I think Alex Jones has his finger on the pulse of some things. And I think he's bang on about some things. But listening to everything he says, particularly one of the things that I really think I'm interested in, or I think that there's something to it, and I'm sorry that I'm going so far away from what the Nazis did, but just give me a minute, is the psychotropic drugs in order to access like an alternate dimension. I was like, wow, that's a very interesting theory. And the way he describes it is very compelling, but I mean, like, I would have to take said drugs in order to experience the communal effect and be like, you know, in order to believe it, I'd have to experience it, I think. And I don't know that I want to go that far. So it's a long way to say that. Okay, back to what the Nazis did. What the Nazis did compared to the indigenous book burning, the indigenous reconciliation book burning. The best part is they're being serious. Like, they're like, no, we're burning this book. We're burning this hateful book. So you understand that we're serious about how hateful this book is. Okay. We disagree with the ideology in this book so much that it has to be burned and removed, right? It's disgusting. It's awful, right? That's what the Nazis did. Here we go. The Nazi book burnings were a campaign conducted by the German Student Union. The students, you go after the kids, right? That's why at the beginning I said communist takeover. They're going after the kids. You go after the kids. To ceremonially burn books in Nazi Germany and Austria in the 1930s. The books targeted for burning were those viewed as being subversive or as representing ideologies that opposed Nazism. These included books written by Jewish communist, socialist, anarchist, liberal, pacifist, and sexologist authors, among others. The first books burned were those of Karl Marx and Katsky. So here's the further kind of a little bit more color. Local chapters were to supply the press with releases and commissioned articles, sponsored well-known Nazi figures to speak at public gatherings, and negotiated for radio broadcast time. The DST, the German students, had contacted an official from the propaganda ministry to request support for their campaign, including having propaganda minister Goebbels be the main speaker at the event in Berlin. Because Goebbels had studied under several Jewish professors and had in the past praised them despite his avowed anti-Semitism, he was afraid that speaking at the book burnings would cause these past remarks to be dug up by his enemies. As a result, he did not formally accept the invitation to speak, despite his having been listed in the advance publicly. Until the last moment. So he was going to speak and then pulled out at the last moment. This is akin to funding the NGOs and funding state media and making sure that the state media is the only media that gets out there. So Trudeau's rant on the disinformation and rebel and how powerful he made them seem during that rant has even more weight to it, right? Wait till Justin Trudeau's student union starts burning books, you know, to get rid of those evil white supremacist anti-whoever's, right? Trudeau was mad, right? And he was really taking it to the rebel. And a lot of his acolytes say, yeah, man, that was great. That was super great to see you take down the rebel like that. But the reality is, he's acting like a Nazi. He's acting exactly like the Nazis did, right? And paying off the media and making sure that only one narrative is the narrative that's able to get out, and trying his best to demonize and silence any dissent, right? Do you want to reelect that? Really? You've got a choice. You don't have to. Maybe. If you paid attention to the 2020 presidential election, I would understand your trepidation about having a choice. I'm not sure that you do either. I'm not sure that I do either, right? Goodness me. This is Peter Boghossian. He and James Lindsay. James Lindsay's Twitter is hilarious, by the way. I think he's very funny just because he's so like, whatever, dude, come at me. Like, what are you going to do to me? And he posts very, very funny things. But they were the ones who basically rewrote Mein Kampf as like against white people and then got it published. There was a 3-hour long podcast with them and Joe Rogan. But it's being wiped from the internet through Spotify buying Joe Rogan's back catalog from YouTube and then putting it on Shopify or on Spotify and then removing it, like, you know, removing certain episodes that go against right speak. Anyway, Boghossian talks about why he quit his tenured position because they've made it intolerable. And reading this, again, like talking about Viva Fry's experience, right, being removed and saying, like, you have to fight for every inch. Reading this, I see and understand what the goal is to grind down dissonance. It's not a big flashbang campaign of like, we're going to get you and remove you slowly or remove you quickly. It's a very slow grind, right? It's a very slow, like, they remove your ability to make money, then they remove your ability to be widely distributed, then they remove your ability to even be on the internet. That's what Bill C-10 and C-36 are going to be about if they get through. And I mean, if conservatives, if Erin O'Toole or if Justin Trudeau get in, I'm sure that we will be seeing speech restrictions on the internet, because that's next. Okay, that's next. And they both agree that a communist takeover is in the works. So this is the plan. This is Peter Boghossian's letter about why he quit. Why he quit teaching at his place of employment for more than 10 years. And he loved it. He loved being a teacher, but he couldn't continue to do what he was doing. It's worth the read. Go check it out if you're interested. And Google has launched an anti-racism initiative claiming that America is a system of white supremacy and that all Americans are raised to be racist, including Ben Shapiro, who is depicted as a layer of white supremacy in the white supremacy period culminating in genocide. Here's a thread. So if you're interested in critical race theory, I've done reports on critical race theory at the Upper Grand District School Board. It's literally everywhere, and they are not slowing down with it, and they're going to shove it down your throat. And if you don't like what they want you to like, they're going to remove your ability to interact on Google. They'll remove your they will deperson you. You will be removed from the technocracy. And if you're removed from the technocracy, well, then you're unpersoned, right? It's worse than being excommunicated from the church, right? It's being locked out of the broader world that we've built online. I don't know, man. It's a very insidious thing for governments to work this hand in glove with corporations like this, Google owns YouTube. So, this is coming. It's coming for you. And if we don't stand up and do something about it, your kids will live in a very different world. We already live in a very different world than I grew up in. And like, it was okay when I was a kid for people to disagree about the politics of the country. And it was generally okay to love your country too. And now it's not, right? You can't talk about politics. And if you love your country, Justin Trudeau will call you a white supremacist and all sorts of terrible names. So very interesting times, very concerning. Thanks for watching, everybody. Check out CanadaPoly.com. Check out CanadaReport.co. Check out SpeakingMoistly.co. And have a look at my Twitter tonight for a link for the debate. If I'm watching it and streaming, I'll be on Twitch probably. Twitch and DLive, because the other ones don't really work for streaming. So I don't know if it's going to work. Technology-wise, I'm not sure if it's going to work. I don't know if I have the technology to have a show streaming while I'm talking over it with being meaningful, because the volume is going to be weird. It's going to be a problem. So I don't know. And workshopping something like that live, like to put a product out, like if I'm putting a product out, I mean, I guess I could just watch it and like chat with you guys. That might work too. I could just like strip it down and just be like super, super chill about it. On Zoom? What do you think? Zoom? I don't know if it'll work. Okay, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know if I can stream Zoom out properly. All right. Well, thanks for watching, everybody. Let me know what you think through the day on Twitter probably. All right. Where was I? Blah, blah, blah. Check out Canada Poly. Blah, blah, blah. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.